Hallelujah. He's good to us, isn't he? I'm changed today.
Amen.
You know, when you have an encounter or an experience with him, you're changed. You know, I've had interesting times in that post office that's diagonal across the building. Of course, you know, when I was going through a rough time and things were building up, you know, one time I walked in there to get the mail, and there at my feet was a big pile of dog you-know-what, and just waiting for me, just saying, welcome to South Dayton. Of course, I know that's not a picture or a representation of South Dayton. That's not why I bring that up. That's just, it was just one more thing. You know, that could have happened anywhere, but there's just one more thing, and that was not a very good trip to the post office. But this morning, when I walked into the post office, the Lord spoke to me, and I don't mean to dangle the carrot out. I have to be obedient to what he said to me. But I'll just say this. Hopefully someday I'll be able to share what he dropped in my heart. As soon as I walked in, he spoke something to me, and it hit me, and it's changed me forever. Praise God. Now, I know you're thinking, Pastor Mike, gee, thanks for this. Thank you for this tease. But I know in my spirit I can't share this with anybody yet, but I just want to tell you, things are different. Praise God. And that which he spoke to me, I'll be faithful to. And you watch where we're going to go from this place, praise God. You know me, I don't take these things lightly. I don't just say things just to be sensational. I endeavor to always just follow the Spirit. But it was clear as day, and I'm so thankful. So let's just give him praise this morning. Father, we bless you and praise you and magnify you. I just love you and thank you. And Father, I will do that. And I thank you for that. I thank you for that, Father. We praise you. Now help us, Lord, as we go forward this morning. Help us to say what needs to be said. Help us to do what needs to be done. Father, impartations, revelations, divine encouragement, Father, and correction if need be. Father, they that hunger and thirst, I thank you, you'll fill them this morning. Father, this isn't ideal. This isn't what we would choose. But we thank you that as you're leading by the Spirit of God, Father, in our obedience, Lord, not only are we kept safe in things, but Father, we'll be blessed for following you. Even in things maybe we don't want to do, or maybe when our opinions or our thoughts are otherwise, Father, when we follow you, we're going to walk into increase. So I thank you that these two churches that have been so diligent, that have been so faithful, that have been so patient, Father, there's great rewards coming to each and every one of us. Not only as two church bodies, Father, but as each individual believers. Father, you see things like people's hearts. You see people's attitudes. Father, you see when people are honorable behind the scenes. You see when people speak well behind the scenes, just as though and the same as you see when people speak negatively behind the scenes, when people criticize behind the scenes, when people slander behind the scenes. But Father, I thank you that which is done in secret will be rewarded openly. Now, Father, I don't know why I'm praying this way, but it's impressed in my heart to make sure to let people know your honor will be rewarded. Your faithfulness and your patience and your obedience and your diligence, even in things you don't agree with, even in things you think are ridiculous or unnecessary. Trust me, there's a lot of things I think are ridiculous and unnecessary during this time, but I'm going to be faithful to what the Holy Ghost says. And Father, I thank you that you'll reward and you'll bless those. And those, Father, that need to repent, I pray that they would humble themselves and repent for dishonor. Humble themselves and repent for slander and for backbiting and for criticism. And Father, I thank you that we'll all just get in line and walk into what you have for us. We praise you this morning and glorify you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, man, what a start to the service. Didn't expect that utterance. Sure, certainly wasn't thinking of what was going to happen in the post office. In fact, you know, I told you about that Christmas album that I listened to on the church. It's only Christmas album I'll listen to outside of December. But I just love it because all the songs, even the band that did their own Christmas songs, just so Jesus focused. And it gets my mind on him. And I was just rocking out to some Christmas tunes, and I got out of the vehicle to walk in the post office, and bam! Yeah. Praise God. God is a God of suddenlies.
Yes.
And here I'm praying, and God says, bam, encourage them that there's rewards for honor. There's rewards for faithfulness. There's rewards for obedience. There's rewards for kindness. Praise God. Praise the name of Jesus. Well, I'm stirred up now. I mean, I want to kick one of these tulip plants right through the ceiling. Just boot it. I'm just feeling good right now. Praise God. But go with me to Matthew 14:22. Certainly can't wait to be back in church with all of you next week. Matthew 14:22. Hallelujah. And I do know this by my heart, that the Holy Ghost just told me, not just now, but when he spoke to me, that I'm not to share that now. So there will be a revealing of Post Office Part 2. You've already heard Post Office Part 1. I mean, that was something. And so gotta do something better. That's probably why I did it over in the post office. I said, we got to have a new post office story. So it's just not yet, but it will be revealed when the right time has come. Praise God. Matthew 14:22. Hallelujah. Let's go ahead and let's read here. Starting in verse 22, it says, and straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side when he sent the multitudes away. It says, and when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up in the mountain to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. So Jesus is praying there in the boat. When he, it says in verse 24, but the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with the waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus said, went unto them, walking on the sea. And when his disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it's a spirit. And they cried out for fear. Verse 27. But straightway or immediately, Jesus spoke unto them, saying, be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it is you, bid me, or tell me to come onto the water. And Jesus said, come. And when Peter had come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. You see that there? Peter walked on the water. When the wind was already contrary, when the waves were already doing things that didn't make it seem good to get out of the boat. But when he saw, what does that mean? He took his attention off something. Yeah. He took his attention off his help and his answer. When he was looking at Jesus, what happened? He walked over top of those problems. When he had his eyes on Jesus, what happened? He walked over that trial. When he had his eyes on Jesus, what happened? He was victorious with what the natural was throwing at him. But the Bible says when he saw the wind was boisterous, and my question to Peter would be, why would you ever start looking at the wind? Why would you take your eyes off of Jesus? And he was afraid. He began to sink. He cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O, you of little faith, wherefore did you doubt? Now, I sent a slick text out yesterday to everybody that signed up for that service saying, today's a very timely and important message. So how do you know that, Pastor Mike? Because the Holy Ghost is impressing things very clearly and strongly on my heart. And today what I want to talk to you about is the dangers of distraction. The dangers of distraction. Here we see that life was happening, adverse situations and circumstances, and we've been talking recently that we live in a world run by the devil. There's always going to be pressure. There's always going to be opposition. There's always going to be struggle. There's always going to be the wind and the waves, natural things, not even in opposition or oppression. We'll look at what the Word says about those things. Things that are just distractions to us that get our time and attention. And when Peter kept his eyes on the prize, he was victorious. But Peter got distracted, didn't he? And he took his attention, right? How many of you have been in school? I mean, this is crazy. Even sometimes if I'm watching a movie, I'll get distracted, and like 3 minutes will go by, and they're in a new scene. I'm like, wait, what the heck happened? I started to get my attention on something else, and I have to go back and rewind it. Yeah. Peter took his attention off of his help and his answer and put his attention, got distracted, and put his gaze or fixed his gaze, his attention on something else, and it started to sink for him. I need to talk to you today because the Holy Ghost is pressing upon my heart strongly the dangers of distraction, because it doesn't help the kingdom when we're distracted. And you're going to see in the Word, it doesn't help you to be distracted. There are certain things that we cannot take our time, energy, effort, and attention away from and expect to walk in victory. We have to fix our time, energy, and attention on certain things that are so vital if you expect to walk in victory. But so many people are distracted. Go to Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1. Said, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Now, those cloud of witnesses were mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11, the hall of fame of faith, praise God. Those people are up there watching us, praise God, cheering us on. It says, let us lay aside, notice this, every weight and the sin. What's that mean? Sins can be a weight and a distraction, but there are other things that aren't necessarily sin that can be a distraction that can weigh us down, which does so easily beset us. What's that mean? Get us off course. What happened when Peter took his eyes off Jesus? He got off course. He started focusing and looking at the wrong thing. And the Bible says, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. So he says, run with patience. Lay aside the weight and the sins. Don't be distracted. Don't be caught up in all the other things. And he's going to tell us, I want you to put your attention on something specific. In verse 2 it tells us, looking unto Jesus. But ladies and gentlemen, just like Peter, a whole lot of us in the body of Christ, I'm assuming if the Holy Ghost or people are getting ready to do this, I'm assuming people are a whole lot of people are looking at other things, fixing their attention on other things, distractions. Well, the Bible tells you where you ought to be looking. Yeah. And I'm going to break it down and make it practical for you today. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. See, you don't get a get out of jail free card. Now you do from hell when you get saved, but not you don't get automatic victory when you become a Christian. You have a part to play in this. Peter, just because he was one of the Lord's disciples and left all to follow him, didn't get a get out of jail free card from sinking in the water. It was available to him if he kept his eyes and attention in the right place. When we start this and wandering off, your victory is no longer guaranteed. Colossians 3 says, if you then be risen with Christ, and if you've received Jesus and have accepted him, you are risen with him. Seek. Look at that. Seek. Not just casual, seek. What's that mean? To pursue, to go after, to strive for, not to be casual about, not to be apathetic about, not to be ho-hum about. Seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Verse 2 says, set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. One translation, and it reads right, it would translate correctly, would say, set your mind on things above, not on the earth. But let's be honest. Most people, and maybe I'm preaching right to you today, You are so concerned and your thoughts are constantly filled with just your life, your pursuits, your passions, your hobbies, your problems, your symptoms, your situations. The Bible says don't put your mind on all those things. Don't set your affection, your attention, your heart, your desires on that. Put them on Him.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. That's what the Bible says. So the word tells us in two places. We could look at others, but two or three witnesses. Look unto Jesus. Look unto Jesus. Don't be gazing at other things. Don't be fixing your attention. Then it says, set your mind. Fix your mind. Put your mind. What does Isaiah 26:3 say? I will give him perfect peace whose mind is stayed or fixed or set on thee. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're not experiencing peace in your life, but yet your attention's not on him, don't expect for peace to show up. I mentioned depression early on when we were praying or sometime during worship. I mentioned something about depression. It came up out of my heart to say it. Ladies and gentlemen, you can't expect perfect peace doing things your own way and having your attention on everything else but him. Well, this just always is the way it's always been my whole life. This is just everything happens to me this way. Wait a minute, but are you doing your part? Because don't act like he's turned a blind eye towards you and that he doesn't care about you and this is just your lot in life. No, make a change. Make a change, glory to God. He's always there, arms wide open, saying, make a change. Make a change the right way, praise God. Hallelujah. Go to 1 John 2 and verse 15. 1 John 2 and verse 15, we cannot be a distracted church. We cannot be a distracted body of Christ as individual members. It will hurt us. It'll hurt our families. It'll hurt the plan. Praise God. 1 John 2 and verse 15, look what the Bible says. Love not the world. What's the world? Everything we can see down here. All the things that steal our affection. All the things that steal our time and our energy, right? And our gaze, right? He says, love not the world, nor the things in the world. The Bible says, if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And look at what he says in verse 17. This is why it's a waste of time. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, that means the lust of the eyes, ooh, that looks shiny, that looks nice, let's put our attention there. The lust of the flesh, ooh, I want to fill up my flesh by going this way and doing this stuff. All that stuff. The pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world, and the world passes away, and the lust thereof, but he that does the will of God abides forever. These things that have our attention, these things that are distracting us from the greater, higher good and calling that he's calling us to are pointless. Didn't say you can't enjoy things in the world. Don't get me wrong. It said to not love them. To not fix your attention on them. And let's be honest. Most Christians, it's an afterthought of doing anything for the kingdom. And advancing his kingdom. It's a me, me, me life. And how can I consume? And how can I build up? And how can I advance my personal kingdom? And we're distracted. And we're being hurt because of it, praise God. Think about what happens. One of the big problems we have nowadays, especially with cell phones, is distracted driving. When I get so, and I'm sure I've done this too, so I've had to correct myself, but I get so angry when I drive by somebody and they're not even looking at the road. Yeah. I mean, they're literally like this. Yeah. Or I'll pass somebody going to South Dayton or Olean on 86, and I'll drive by, and they're not even looking at the road. Yeah. Like, you do know that deer can just, bam, come out, and you don't have time to brake. One time, I'm so thankful for mercy. I was driving home at night. It was after a Wednesday night service. I stopped and I got something to eat, but it was dark. And I was texting while driving. And all of a sudden, I looked up and noticed on the side of the road was a man dressed in dark that I just had driven right by him. Thankfully, it was to no credit to myself, thankfully, I wasn't swerving at that time because there was nowhere for him to go. I'm assuming it was a him. I don't know. It looked like a guy as I drove by real quick. But my point is, because I was distracted driving, I could have easily been one of those people that took a life or hurt somebody extreme because I wasn't paying attention. Just by the grace of God, I didn't hit that person because I didn't swerve or anything. As I was driving by, I realized they were there. Distracted will lead to nothing good. Peter was distracted. 1 Peter 5:8. This is why you can't be distracted. 1 Peter 5:8. Hallelujah. It says to be sober and vigilant. That doesn't sound distracted. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. And let me tell you something. People are being devoured for the simple fact they're distracted. They're not alert. They're not sober. They're not vigilant. Listen to what the Message Bible says. Keep a cool head. Stay alert. The devil is poised to pounce and would like nothing better than to catch you napping. There are things that God has told us to do that if we do, keep us built up, keep us encouraged, keep us strengthened, keep our faith working, keep our faith sharp. And if we don't do them, the enemy's just waiting to pounce on you because you can't handle it. And he'll overtake you with sadness. And he'll overtake you in poverty. And he'll overtake you in depression. And he'll overtake you in fear. Because you got your attention on everything but your help. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, you got a slick text from me this week about just because it's 90 degrees. Anybody felt those temperatures this week? Wow. 90 degrees. It was hot and humid, and people get to do a lot of outside stuff and recreation and things in a pool and water and fun outside, and we get to enjoy this, and there's nothing wrong with that, but is it taking your attention and your gaze? Because the problem with it is, the devil doesn't say it's Western New York. Most of the time, their weather is not like this. We should give them a break, demons. Demons, you take a break too. You know those influencing demons that go around and try to influence you into depression, influence you into wrong things, that try to put wrong thoughts into your head to lead to strongholds? You take the week off. It's 90 in Western New York. We'll go somewhere else. No, this is the times and things the devil's waiting for. Their attention's off. They're not built up. Their faith's not strong. Woo! I know I'm hitting bullseyes right now because the Holy Ghost told me to share this. Hallelujah. The enemy is always on the prowl. And we have to stay vigilant and sober in the winter, in the spring, in the summer, and in the fall. He does his job 24/7, 365. We have to make sure we're doing ours the same. Glory to God. So many people just, why? Because it appeases the mind. It appeases the flesh. Wow. So I want to show you two things, and you already know where I'm going probably. You've heard me preach this stuff over and over again. But you know what? If we're going to talk about in this church overcoming and being faith people, you don't just fall into overcoming. You don't just fall into all of a sudden you're a faith giant. You have a part to play. And we better make sure we're playing our part, glory to God. Amen. Mark chapter 4 and verse 18. I am so fired up right now. Mark 4:18. You watch. You'll notice if you pay attention that from this service, when Moses came down off the mountain, he was different. I walked out of that post office changed. And it's going to trickle into this church and into Allegheny. You watch. Mark 4:18. Yeah. And the Holy Ghost just said, and they that are a part of this ministry, which would be Allegheny South, better get on board.
Amen.
Don't be left behind with where God's taken us.
Right.
We have a mandate in this church. When I say this church, I don't just mean South Dayton. I mean, because when I consider Allegheny and South Dayton one church, two locations.
Right.
We have a mandate to get things done. And that's what God dealt with me about. That's a little teaser. What God dealt with me about and sternly said, do that. And so, don't be left behind. Get on board with what God's doing. Praise God. And these are they which are sold among thorns, such as hear the word. But look at this. The cares of the world. All the stuff that the world has. The deceitfulness of riches. Look at this. The lust of other. What does lust mean? To crave. To desire. To want something. The lust of other things. Other things than what? The word. The important stuff. Jesus. Where's our attention supposed to be? Him.
Amen.
The lust of other things enters in and chokes. Everybody say chokes. Chokes the word and it becomes unfruitful. Oh man. We can't afford to have the word become unfruitful in our lives. Go with me to Luke 10:38. But I don't have time for the word, Pastor Mike. Then you don't have time for victory. Because victory comes through faith, and faith doesn't even come on the scene and grow and get stronger unless the word is present.
Right. Amen.
I'm too busy for the word. Then you're too busy for your victory.
Right.
Luke 10:38. Jesus talked about here something about being too busy for the word, too distracted. That's all busy is.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, I've said it before, and I don't mean to be harsh or mean when I say this. If you've constructed your life in a manner that you can't come to church, that you're too busy for the Word of God, that is a you problem. That is not a him problem. He tells us what needs to be done and expects us to get in line.
Amen.
Praise God. The devil doesn't just say, you know what? They didn't have time because their life's too busy to build up their faith. I think it would be unfair to attack them. No, the devil says, that's the ones I want. The distracted ones. The ones that are not alert. The ones that are napping and what they should do. Praise God. Luke 10:38, now it came to pass as he entered into a certain village and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. This is Martha's home. They're guests in Martha's home. Well, when you're in a guest in somebody's home, my goodness, I hope that you have a heart to want to be a blessing in that home. To do what the homeowner wants, to follow their guidelines, their wishes, their desires. So they're in Martha's home. That's important to know. And she had a sister called Mary, so Mary's visiting her, which sat at Jesus' feet and heard the word. So Jesus is in her home preaching a sermon. Wow. We would think, oh, we would, of course we would stop what we're doing. Wait a minute, ladies and gentlemen. Jesus put your visitation in South Dayton, New York, and in Allegheny, New York, and you can't even get people to come out in here.
So true.
I know it's not Jesus being there, but by faith you're more blessed. Because you can't see him. Oh, I would have definitely been at that house. Not if you're not faithful to church, you wouldn't have been. And if you would have said, well, I would have gone if Jesus were there. Your faith is deep. It's low. Because you're a seeing Christian. Oh, I would have been there if Jesus. No. This is how he set it up in the church. In the New Testament church is to anoint somebody to deliver mail from heaven, from him.
Hallelujah.
It's in my message, it's in my thoughts. Well, I certainly would have stopped what I'm doing and been in that house. If you would have and you can't do this, your faith is tiny and you're a Thomas.
Yes.
You got to see it to act different. Come on now. Hallelujah. Ouch.
That's good.
Praise God. It's true, man.
Yeah.
Mary said, I can't miss this. I can't miss this. I got the Word in my presence. But Martha, oh, we have a lot of but Marthas out there. But Martha was cumbered or distracted about much serving. Why? There were things to be done. It's 2020. There's things to be done. It's nice outside. There's recreation to be had. There's things around the house to do. There's jobs and businesses. There's life's picking back up. There's things to do. Yeah, well, there was back then too. And she came to Jesus and said, Lord, you don't care? What, don't you care that my sister's left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she come help me. Now, here's the thing. Nobody's denying that Martha had things to do. Nobody's denying there was other stuff that needed tended to. Jesus knew it. He wasn't oblivious to the world in life. He knew there's things that need to be done. So, is Jesus' response, listen, Western New York, I get it. The lake's warm. It's hot outside. Completely take your attention off of me and get cumbered about with everything. No. How do we know? His reaction to Martha in her own home with stuff to do. Mary had the nerve to put him first. See how backwards the devil tries to give people thoughts? Of course Mary was doing the right thing. But Martha, in her mind, you're unreasonable, Mary. No, you're unreasonable, Martha. Glory to God. Pastor Mike, you're so unreasonable expecting me to be in church. No, you're unreasonable for thinking that I'm unreasonable. I'm sorry I believe the word. Forgive me. The Bible says, you know, you need a pastor. When people's lives struggle, they don't have a pastor. Just because you say I'm your pastor doesn't mean I'm your pastor. Are you submitted under the ministry? Are you in the services herein? Are you seeing face-to-face connection? Are you receiving from what heaven has for you? What a stirring up hornet's nest today. Praise God. Lord, don't you care? My sister left me to serve alone. Bid her therefore she come and help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, you are careful and troubled with many things. What are Christians? Careful and troubled about many things. Distracted. He says, but there's one thing. Everybody say one thing. Put your index finger up and say one thing. You need to get this in your heart. One thing is needful. What is that one thing? He tells us, Mary chose it. What was Mary choosing? To put the Word first in her life. To not let the world and distractions pull her from the Word of God. We know verses like Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, that tell us that if we meditate day and night, it leads to us being built up in prosperity and good success. We know Psalms chapter 1 that says, meditate day and night. We'll be like the tree planted by the rivers of water, bringing forth fruit in our season. We know verses like Proverbs 4, 20 through 22 that say, attend to the word. Incline thine ears. Don't let them depart from your eyes or the midst of your heart. Right? And it says, it'll lead to good things. We know these verses. That's why Jesus said it was needful. Martha said, I can do without this. I need to do all this other stuff. And it's leading to nothing. Romans 10:17. Praise God. It's timely and important, just like the Holy Ghost said. Romans 10:17. So then faith cometh. Now remember what Pastor Mike's been teaching us about faith in God. And that faith is your ticket to overcoming, praise God. Faith is your ticket to quenching the fiery darts of the wicked one. Faith is your ticket to receiving from God. Faith cometh by hearing and hearing. That's over and over. So you say, I want this victory. I want to get past this poverty, this sickness, this disease, this depression, this heartache, this whatever it is. And you're not getting past it. Well, your faith will get you past that because God will move through that faith. But where there's no faith, there's no power of God. And where there's no word, no faith can be. Don't sit there and complain that things never change when you're not attending to the word. He only said prosperity and good success come to those that attend to the word. He only said in Proverbs 4, health and healing to your flesh come from attending to the word. Everything you touch prospering in Psalms 1 after you attend to his word. If you have bad attendance to the word, you'll have bad attendance to victory class. It's just the truth, people. And in the day and age we're living in, the devil, why? He comes to try to choke the word, because the word leads to help. The word leads to faith. The word is the beginning to victory for us, and he wants to get it out of people's lives any way he can. Any way he can. It's the truth, praise God. So number one, we can't be distracted from the word of God. We cannot let summertime and the busyness of life, or even things we're adversely experience, take us away from our help.
Amen.
Go to John chapter 18 and verse 1. We're going to point 2 now. John 18 and verse 1. When Jesus had spoken these words, he went forth with his disciples over the brook Cedron, where was a garden into which he entered in his disciples. And Judas also, which betrayed him, knew the place, for Jesus oftentimes reported thither in his disciples. Jesus then, having received a band of men and officers from the chief... This is the story of the Garden of Gethsemane when Jesus is taken captive, getting ready for his crucifixion. Having received a band of men and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, come thither with lanterns and torches and weapons to come get him. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him, went forth and said unto them, who are you seeking? Who are you looking for? They answered, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus said, I'm him. He didn't back down from the devil. He didn't run and hide. He said, let's do this thing. Let's get this thing going. This is all part of the show, Jesus says. Let's go right through hell and come out the other side, praise God. Don't avoid your trials. Don't run away from your Goliath. David ran towards his Goliath. The quicker you run towards Goliath, the quicker you can cut the head off that thing.
Amen.
Praise God. Jesus said, I'm him. He knew they were coming to take him. He didn't go running high. He said, let's do it. Praise God. I love it. He said, I am he. Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with them. And as soon as they had said unto them, I am he, they went backward and fell to the ground. They fell out under the power. You'd think that would give them the idea. There's something about this man. People are ignorant. Then asked he them again, whom do you seek? They said, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus answered, I've told you, I'm him. If you seek me, let these go their way. Talking about his disciples. That the saying might be fulfilled which he spoke of them, which you have given me, I have lost none. Then Simon Peter, now look at this. Having a sword, drew the sword. Now remember, Jesus is all about, take me. Jesus is what? Walking in the Spirit, not the flesh. You need to pay attention to this. This will help you. Peter drew the sword and smote the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. Now we would think, wow, what a loyal and faithful servant Peter was to stand up for Jesus and cut off the ear. But look what Jesus said in verse 11. Then Jesus said to Peter, put your sword away in your sheath, Peter. Put it away, Peter. The cup which my Father has given me, shall I not drink it? You know what Jesus is saying? Peter, your actions are outside the boundaries of God's will and God's word. What I'm here to do is fulfill God's plan and God's word. Put the sword away, Peter. What's he doing? He reprimanded him. We think, oh, so loyal. No, Peter was just acting outside the boundaries of what Jesus wanted. But what would cause Peter to get off into the flesh? What is getting off into the flesh? When you are walking out of love, when you get distracted, when lust grows in you, all the stuff. When depression, when fear, when anxiety, it's just because you're walking in the flesh. They that walk in a life in the Spirit are not depressed. They that walk in a life in the Spirit are not anxious, are not afraid. They don't have love walk problems. They don't have lust problems. They that are walking in the Spirit. The difference between Jesus and Peter is Peter got off into the flesh and acted fleshly, and Jesus reprimanded him. But why would Peter do that? Because Peter didn't pay attention to what Jesus told him earlier in the night. What do you mean? Go to Matthew 26 and verse 36. Matthew 26 and verse 36. I want to overcome. I want to be victorious. I want to get rid of this depression. I want to get rid of this fear. I don't like feeling this way. Okay, do your part. Matthew 26, 36. Then Jesus comes with them unto a place called Gethsemane. Now this is Matthew's account of what John already told us. Said, and he said unto his disciples, sit here while I go and pray. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, James and John, began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then Jesus said unto them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry here and watch with me. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. And he come unto his disciples and finds them asleep and says unto Peter, what? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? So Peter's sleeping. He's gotten off in the flesh. Now look what Jesus says in verse 41. Watch. What's watch mean? To be vigilant. To have your eyes open. To be looking in the right place. What's it say? Watch and what? Pray. What's the result of that? That you enter not into temptation. Why? The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. So Jesus just tells him, Peter, if you don't watch and pray, your flesh is going to have its way. Ooh, that's a good one. If you don't watch and pray, your flesh will have its way. And you can't afford to have the flesh have its way. They that sow to the flesh will of the flesh reap destruction. They which sow it to the Spirit will reap life everlasting. He said, watch and pray so your flesh doesn't have its way. That's what he said. Wow. He went away, verse 42, the second time prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep again. What did Peter not do? Watch and pray. What did Jesus say? When you don't watch and pray, your flesh will have its way. And it won't lead to any of the good thing. Then he come to his disciples, and he found them, for the eyes were heavy, and he left them, went away again the third time, saying the same words. He comes to his disciples, said, sleep on now, just sleep, take your rest. Well, Peter didn't watch and pray. What's that mean? Peter wasn't in the spirit. He was in the flesh. So when the soldiers come, in that time, remember Jesus said there was an hour. He could have at least been praying for an hour, building himself up. The soldiers come. What's Peter's response? Not a spirit action. Shh, shh. And the one that was walking in the spirit said, put that away, you're wrong. You're outside the boundaries of what my Father, you know why people are outside the boundaries? Because they're not watching and praying. They're looking at the wrong things and they're not praying. And their flesh overtakes them, and depression overtakes them, and fear overtakes them, and anxiety overtakes them, and the worry of your problems overtake you. Why? Because the flesh is strong and building up in the wrong way. Oh, Lord, help them. Help them, Lord. Go to Luke 18:1. We're almost done. Luke 18:1. This message will change your world. Luke 18:1. We have a choice every day where we put our attention, where we put our time. Let's be honest. We give our time to that which is important to us. That which our affection is on, that which we care about, we make sure we find time for those things. Well, we better get our mind renewed that we better start making some time for word and prayer in our lives. Because not only are you suffering for it, the kingdom's suffering for it. Luke 18:1, in this parable unto them, he said to this end, that men ought to always pray and not to faint. What did Peter do in the garden? His action, he fainted. He fainted. He didn't walk in line with what the word said. Why? Because he didn't pray. He was walking in the flesh. Most people just live every day in the flesh. Going to their job, going to recreation, making sure their house is taken care of. And the spirit man, the spirit side of things, gets no attention. And distracted Christian drivers lead to crashes in your life. The people that crash and burn because they're so worried and so fearful and depressed, or they're overtaken in sickness and disease and by their money problems, are not the people that are diligent to be building themselves up. The people that walk out of love and have a love walk problem are not the people that are spending time on their face. The people that are afraid of the coronavirus are not the people that are hungry and filling themselves up. The people that when hell shows up at your front door and you're terrified, what do? You have not been in his presence. And just keep loving me, because we're going to get bolder and bolder as time goes on. Because there's an office and a calling that God has called me into. And in that office and in that calling, and I've not talked about it much publicly, but again, I'll give you a little teaser, and I don't have anything in my heart concerning what he spoke to me in the post office. In that office and in that calling requires boldness. It requires people to not just fluff around with, mess around and not tell people the truth. It requires boldness. You will not move into what God has for you and overcome that which is coming against you if you continue to live your life distracted and in the flesh. Praise God. 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 4. Oh, man, praise God. Oh, Father, we praise you, bless you. Thank you, Jesus. Glorify you. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifies or charges himself or builds himself up. You see that? We don't have time to look there, but Jude has one chapter in it. And if you look at verse 20, it says, beloved, building up yourselves, praying in the Holy Ghost. He gave us this, in Isaiah it talks about times of refreshing coming from praying in tongues. Praying in tongues and praying and spending time with him keeps you out of the flesh and puts you into the spirit, the realm of victory, the realm of love, the realm of joy, the realm of peace, not mental instability and emotional torment and mental torment and physical. No, it's victory and joy and peace. But so many people have chosen to place themselves outside of those things, and they're hurting for it. If you're not praying in tongues and building yourself up, you're not built up. And the devil's saying, that's an easy one. I mean, a boxer or an MMA fighter would love to step in the ring with somebody that has not been feeding on the right things and has not been building up their strength. Oh, they've been just sitting around eating Cheetos, not working up their cardio, not working up their muscles. That's who I want to, yeah, put that person in the ring with me. I've been training 6 months. I'm stronger. My cardio's better. Put me in the ring. And the devil looks at some Christians, that's an easy target. And he goes, blip, blip. And the smallest things trouble you. Yeah. Thank you, Pastor Mike Anderson, for helping us. You are welcome. But ultimately, we thank the Holy Ghost. But I had to deliver this today. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, when my mail person delivers our mail, you know, and if there's something good in there, she's not the source of that. But I still thank her for being faithful to deliver it. Praise God. Because somebody had to deliver it. Man, oh man. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Now, I'll just say this in closing. We've seen it with our personal life. The word gets choked out, faith gets choked out. Why does the devil attack the word in the parable of the sower? Because the word leads to everything good. You can't be apart from the word. And I would encourage you to look at Joshua 1:8, Psalms chapter 1, verse 1, Proverbs chapter 4, and verse 20 through 22, and see what the Bible says about this. Romans 10:17, the word needs to become a priority. Just as much as, this is such a good analogy, Lord, just put my heart, I never said this before. There are times for me personally, when my lawn hits a certain length, it consumes me until I mow it. I just got to do that. It's not an option for me to not do it. It's not an option for me to let that get out of control. Why isn't the word like that with people? It's not an option for me to go tomorrow without the word. It's not an option for me to not spend time in his presence. Distracted, distracted, distracted. Now think about this. What does the Bible say in 1 Timothy chapter 2? It says, pray for those in authority. What's the result? That you may live a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. Do you want to live a quiet and peaceful life? I do. Well, I just want it to happen. It doesn't just happen. You have to pray. Oh, I love my pastor and he's my mailman from heaven. Okay, are you praying for me? Because Peter and James was taken and the church didn't pray and he was killed. Peter was taken and the church woke up and got undistracted, put their eyes on the right thing, and it spared Peter. Amen. Well, my pastor's called, big whoop-de-doo. Without your help, I'm not getting in any of it. Are you? I want the world to be saved. Are you praying for the outpouring? Do you see how if we don't do these things and stay on track and our attention in the right place and keep our gaze fixed and stay focused, not only do we hurt, but the kingdom will suffer. And the devil's taking advantage of a lot of distracted Christians. And it's leading to crashes in the body of Christ and in people's lives. And ladies and gentlemen, that is not how these two churches are going to be. I am going to be banging the drum and just thumping and thumping and thumping this until we get it in our heart, until we become word and prayer people. Praise God. Well, were you blessed? My toes were stepped on. Were yours? If they weren't, then you got a pride problem. Because we all have room to come higher. And anytime you think, who's he talking to? Ooh, ouchie, ouchie pants. You're listening to the wrong spirit. Well, I don't need this. Ouch. You're the one that needs it the most. Glory to God. Praise God. Don't ever adopt that mentality of not for me. Ooh, we always can come higher. Praise God. Let's pray. Father, thank you for our help this morning. Lord, we are changed today. We are helped and set free, glory to God. We thank you, Lord. We can't be distracted. We can't be faith people and be distracted. We can't be overcomers and have our focus on the wrong things. Father, I pray that people would heed the correction, that people would heed that prodding and that poking in their heart to come up higher, to lay some things down, and to come up higher and to pick up some right things, and not only watch the change in their own lives, but watch the change in their family, watch the change in their jobs, in their businesses, and in their communities, praise God. And we'll see a great outpouring of the Holy Ghost. And we'll see many changes and we'll see many deliverances and many victories when people pick up and start looking at the right things. Laying that which is wrong down. Laying that which is unimportant. Laying those weights aside that lead to absolutely nothing. And grabbing hold of and running with the prize. And keeping our eyes on the right thing. Father, I thank you. I thank you, Lord. You're helping us. You're calling us higher. You're calling us higher. We praise you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. Now, Father, we thank you for Jesus. I don't know everybody that's watching this right now, but if everybody would bow their heads and close their eyes and just ask yourself one simple question. If today were my last day on planet Earth, would I go to heaven? When I ask myself that question, the answer is 100% yes, I would go to heaven. So how do you know, Pastor Mike? Because I followed the directions in the Bible. Just like if someone says, if I say to somebody, I don't know how to get to so-and-so store, they say, hey, you just go this way. I've been there. I know how to get there. I follow the directions. I get there. Jesus told me how to get to heaven. He said, there's two things I got to do. I got to believe and receive. Romans 10:9 says, if I will confess with my mouth, that's the receiving part, and believe in my heart, that's the believing part, that Jesus died and rose again, I'll be saved. Two things. So if you're out there, I've never entered into a relationship with Jesus. I've never officially asked him to be my Lord and Savior. I've not engaged in this with him. Because it's not about going to church. It's not about that you've been moral. It's not about that you've been so bad that your bad works will keep you out. No. If you'll believe and receive. So if you say to yourself, I'm not sure I've done that, or I want to make sure. Praise God. Don't miss out. This is your chance. I'm going to lead everybody in a prayer right now, including the people that have already received Jesus. We're going to pray with you and say the prayer with you and mean it with our hearts, and joining our faith with yours. But those of you that are watching, you've never received Jesus. It's a free gift. He said, just believe and receive. Doesn't matter about your past. Doesn't matter what happened this morning. It matters what you do with him right now. So with heads bowed and eyes closed, I'm going to pray a prayer. All I do is ask you to repeat it after me and mean it in your heart. Say this with me. Say, Lord Jesus, I believe you are real.
I believe you are real.
I believe you died on the cross for my sins.
I believe you died on the cross for my sins.
And I believe that you rose from the dead. And I ask you to come into my heart. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name. Amen. If you prayed that for the first time, first of all, congratulations. You've now become a child of God, and you have a Father that's there on your side, that nothing's too hard for, nothing's impossible. He has all your answers. We do encourage you next week. We're open in Allegheny at 6 o'clock and Sunday morning here at 8:30 and 10:30. If you're in the area and you're local and you can make it here, you know, and drive here in a reasonable amount of time, you know, we ask you to be faithful and come to our services. You need a pastor. Matthew 9:35-36. Without a pastor, you'll not walk into everything that God has for you. Without that covering, without that plan that God has for you. But if you don't live close by and you need a church, get a hold of me. We'll look for a good one for you. We won't just stick you in any church. We'll make sure it's a Bible teaching, Word and Spirit church. And if we can't find one that's reasonably close to you, we'll just keep you online and going, and we'll just believe God for a church for you. Praise God. He cares about you. Hallelujah. So let me know if you prayed that prayer. You can email me. My email's on the website. My phone number's on the website. You can give me a call. I'd love to know about you, get to meet you, and set you in the right direction. But let's go ahead and let's stand to our feet and let's worship him. We have so much to be thankful for. Father, we love you. We praise you. We take our correction this morning, Father. Thank you for impartations today. In Jesus' name, everybody said,
amen.
And I will see you all next week. Love and appreciate you. You're dismissed.